I want to say hello to everybody watching online, wherever you are. God bless y'all. A couple of reminders: next week is Easter, so bring your Creaster friends next week. And if y'all watching on TV, Creaster is Christmas and Easter. People who go to church, bring them to where you're watching online and have them join you. When we leave, if you haven't noticed, we have not taken the offering yet. Today we're going to take the offering at the end of the service. And so we want you to hear the service. If you're new, we've been talking about giving and tithing for the last 2 weeks. We're ending that series tonight. I know some of you have already started giving because we've seen an increase in that giving, and God bless you. We thank you for that. But some of you are still struggling. Well, Lord, I don't know if I want to get into this tithing thing or whatever. So we want you to, our prayer is that at the end of the service, you would decide, you know what, I'm going to try it. And we're going to read a verse, one of the verses we're going to read tonight. God says, test me or try me, prove me, watch what I do. And so I'm going to throw that challenge out to you to test God, to be faithful in your giving, and watch God honor you back more than you honor him. So we're going to do that at the end. And then at the end, you have the booths outside, 111 ministries that we want you to get involved in. Amen? Amen? And so I'll talk more about what's going on out there, but I want to challenge you to be thinking about what does God want you to do, because it's not about your money only, it's your heart. And if there's not a ministry out there that kind of tugs at your heart, let's create one, because all those ministries were created by those people. God put it on their heart and they started it. So there may be a segment of San Diego you feel we want to reach that you want to reach. Let's go. Let's put one together and start one. Amen? And so we're going to talk about some of that today. So let's see your Bibles today. Let's see your Bible say, Word. Word. Yeah, come on now. Come on now. Come on. Now, let me tell you something. When we started this church 11 years ago, San Diego State, Montezuma Hall, we started with two Sunday night services and one Sunday morning service. This was the main service. This was the main service, 7 o'clock. Woo, it ain't the main service anymore. What? And what I mean by that is that whole thing right there, just word. Y'all are getting old. I don't know what... If you're old, you need to go to another service. This is the young, energetic, warrior spirit service. You know what I'm saying? It's not an age thing. And I'm also going to tell you this. This used to be the biggest service. It is almost the smallest. It's the second smallest by a little bit. But all the morning services are bigger than this service. And this used to be the biggest. And so upstairs is all empty. You see, there's all nobody up there. And so we're going to be doing some things, but it's all going to be on you to say, am I just coming or am I out there inviting my friends? Right? Because it's not like a little, it's not a country club. Amen? Members only. There ain't no membership. It ain't a country club where you got to fit the mold. Just we want everybody to come. So I'm challenging y'all to turn around. Say, I'm going to get my friends. And by the way, go get your enemies. It don't matter who you get. Just bring people. We want to hear the people hear the gospel. Amen? Amen? We just don't want it to be just us and then having our little fun, okay? And so I just want to throw it out to you. So it all starts with the word. So let's one more time, let's try that. By the way, here's how it works. Word, boom. Okay, you got to hear some. And all you ladies out there, just go, whoo. It don't matter what you do. Okay, you ready? Here one more time. 1, 2, 3. Say, word. That's what I'm talking about. Let's all try to do it together. One more time. Say, word. Very good. Oh, hold your Bibles. Hold your Bibles. Look at all the word of God right there. Look at all the word. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all remember, how many of you have ever said in your, as part of your slang, when someone would say something that you agree with, say word. Do y'all remember that? Yeah. Oh, okay. I just want to know if that was like just our generation. Because my generation, we made up all the good slang, so y'all just came later. Yeah, that's right, that's right. I was telling someone today, at the ministry fair today, I met 4 young ladies, 19, 20, 21, that are in our recovery ministry. We have a drug recovery ministry. We actually have a house where the ladies live. They're all recovering from heroin. 21, 20. I think they're 20, 21, something like that. Just little itty-bitty kids. I mean, some of y'all that age, you're a little kid. You just in high school 3 years ago, 2 years ago. and they're recovering from heroin. And I remember when I was about 8 years old, I saw a movie on television. This is before color television, black and white. Do y'all even know what black and white means? Those are two colors in the color spectrum, black and white. And there was actually a time when TV was black and white. How many of you have never seen black and white TV? You've never seen it. Just everything's color, right? There was a time when black and white. It was just black and white. So I was watching this program called Not Me. And it was about a kid in Harlem, New York, who was in a neighborhood where they were selling heroin. And at the end of the movie, it ended with him shooting heroin in his arm and dying in an alley by garbage. I remember it like it was yesterday. That's the only part of the whole movie is I remember is the end, him dying, and me thinking, heroin. My whole life was heroin was a horrible, and it is. And literally, I met those four girls, and then I met another dad who came to me 20 minutes later after meeting these girls, crying, saying, my 23-year-old daughter's on heroin. Right? I have a daughter 24 and a daughter 25 and son 22, so I get that. And so I'm trying to think why I brought this up. Say it again. Rock recovery. Yes, rock recovery. There's amazing lives being changed out here. We need to go get those people. Y'all have friends who are, the devil has got them by the throat. We need to get them. You have to go get them. I can't go get them. So go get them. Bring them. Amen? Send them the link at 11 o'clock tonight. We're going to have a program on Channel 6. Every Sunday night, 11 o'clock, is a 30-minute sermon from this church, from me preaching. Send that link to them or send them an email saying, watch this. Okay? And so there's a lot of ways we can get them, and then there's people watching online. So we got the word. We got the thing. Did we do the pens? Okay, let's start it one more time. I'm rambling. Let's go. It's been a long day. One more time. Say, word. Let's see your pen. Lesson plan. Very good. Let's turn to Luke 9. By the way, we have any visitors here tonight? First time. You're here the first time. Anybody? Yes, where are you from? Marietta. Way up country. Yes, where are you from? Phoenix, Arizona. Is it hot there?
Yeah.
How hot? Hot. It's nice weather here. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. How are you? Where are you from? San Diego. Is it your first time? Who brought you? Does she come here all the time? This is your second time. Oh, 2 years. Okay, you just... No, I mean, I got my contacts in. I'm trying contacts. It's my first time. Hey. Did y'all notice I don't have my glasses on? Okay, not one person said something to me all day. I mean, it doesn't matter, but I was wondering if people noticed. Yeah, I hate my glasses. I got to put stuff in my eyes now. It's a pain in the neck. Anyway, who else? Who else is here for the first time? Yes. Where? Where? Reading. We have a Redding, California. Did someone over here raise a hand? Where are you from? San Diego, Chula Vista. Okay. Thank you very much. Very good. Luke 9. Are we on Luke 9? Okay, one more. You're pointing to that guy.
Ramona.
We tease people from Ramona. Did they tell you? Did you ride your horse on down the downtown? Get some feed for the week. You know. How long does it take you to get down here? Like 40 minutes? Your girl set you up, man. She set you up. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Oh, yeah. Waving to the camera. Yes, we've. Oh, yeah. What's up, man? Black and white TV guy. You've never seen black and white? How old are you?
21.
I guess you wouldn't have no reason to see black and white TV. Do you know what a record is? A record. Huh? Yeah, like an album. Yeah. Do you guys know what albums are?
Yes.
You know what a 45 is?
Yes.
You know what a 33 is?
Yes.
You know what an 8-track is?
Yes.
Okay, just you got a what?
Quad tape.
Cassette? You got cassette players? Well, y'all are cool. Y'all are cool. Where are you from? Escondido. You grew up in Ramona. That whole row is Ramona. Y'all, do y'all have big belt buckles? I'm only kidding. Go to Rock. Go to Rock. Like, go see Pastor Bob. I'm only messing with you. Only messing with you. Yeah, we cool? We cool. Okay. Y'all lasted me tonight and beat me up. Okay. Now, Ramona is actually a very beautiful place. I love going up there. I live almost in Ramona, Scripps Ranch. Now, I live about 25 minutes away, but I ride my motorcycle through Ramona. I have a motorcycle. Do you know what a motorcycle is? Harley Davidson? I got one. Oh, horse. Oh, that. Excuse me? The rodeo is in town. In Ramona? Oh, I go to Lakeside Rodeo. Yeah, I actually spoke at the Lakeside Rodeo before. For real. Spoke on the dirt. Do I know what dirt is? Oh, I know what dirt is. Actually, they had a Christian event. And it was at the Lakeside Rodeo grounds, and I was in the, before it was started, I was in the box where they announced the rodeo, and there was actually a guy up there named Corky, cowboy, straight up cowboy, spurs on his boots, named Corky, and I was up there in my Nikes, right? Actually, I don't even know if Nikes were existed back then when I was, it might have been Adidas, but yeah, I was out there in my sweatsuit, felt kind of out of touch. It wasn't a popular place with the brothers, but I was there anyway, representing. Represent, so okay. Lord, we just thank you for saving me from the rodeo, people. And we just pray you bless us, encourage us, and we thank you for being good to us, and pray you bless all the people watching online, and we pray that they would sense your presence where they are as we do here. And we pray you bless this ministry fair and bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, how many of you do not like math? Raise your hand. Okay. You use math every day. It's probably the most important subject you didn't learn in high school. You use it every time you do your paycheck and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I'm going to give you a little math equation, a math problem, and see if you can give the right answer. And I promise you, you will all get 100% on this test. If I was going to give you $3 and then give you an option that every year I would either add $3 to your $3, or every year I would multiply your $3, or multiply by 3 what you have, would you take adding or multiplication?
Multiplication.
Okay, very good. For all of you who don't know what multiplication means, multiply. To multiply something means to is a repeated addition. Let's show the tape. Here's the example. This is the first one. If you had $3 in year one, and every year added 3, we're going to do it. 3 plus 3 is what?
6.
Then 6 plus 3 is what?
9.
And then year 4, 9 plus 3 is what?
12.
So after 4 years, you have $12. Very simple. You can put thousands or whatever. It's just an illustration. Now, if you multiplied, which is repeated adding, in other words, if you 3 times 7, is you just add 7 3 times. 5 times 7, you just add 7 5 times. That's all it is. Okay, you didn't know that. You might have passed English, you might have, when you. So if you start with $3, and year two, 3 times 3, which you added 3 times, is 9. 3 times 9, you add 9 3 times, you get 27. 3 times 27, you add 27 3 times, you get 81. Okay, so you all get 100% because you know multiplication yields a higher number than adding. So let's show the comparison of the two answers. 12 or 81, obviously 81. What's the point? God is a multiplier. God is a multiplier. When you give something to God, he multiplies it. And he doesn't just add. And by the way, multiplication is repeated adding. So he adds and adds and adds and adds. Now, as we continue our series called Bless, say bless.
Yes.
And we're going to conclude it tonight. We've learned a lot, and we just want to review what we learned. Let's look in your notes right at the top of your lesson plan there. We learned, one, blessed means to be happy. Oh, how happy. And we use the example of seeing a guy with a girl that we think is over his head. You remember we talked about that? Some goofy guy with a pretty girl. We go, how did you get that girl? And he says, I'm blessed. I saw that guy today. I almost said something. For real. I was like, looking at this. And, you know, with guys, we can do that with guys. Right, fellas? Yeah, I mean, we don't care. I say, brother, how'd you get that girl? You're like, hey. So we don't mind. So I saw that guy today. I was like, that's your girlfriend? I mean, it was actually his wife. I was like, brother. But I didn't say anything. But blessed means that you're happy. God has hooked you up. God blesses people, okay? We also saw tithing means 10%. 10% of your money that you give back to God. Now, God gives you 100% of what you have. It's all His. He asks you to return 10% to secure a blessing on the 90. And the 10% that you return, He also used it to run His ministry. It's all His. By giving the 10%, it is a safeguard against being selfish and greedy. By giving 10%, it is also reaffirming to God that you acknowledge that He is the giver of every good gift. And by giving 10%, you also acknowledging to God that you are trusting that He will return to you what you need and take care of you. So God has all those things accomplished by establishing this thing called tithing. Now some people say, well, tithing is an Old Testament, it doesn't apply to me. Well, let us see. We saw that tithing is taught inside and outside the Old Testament, inside and outside the Old Testament law. Abraham and Jacob tithed long before the law, 400 years before the law. Tithing is taught in the law, and tithing is also taught in the New Testament through Jesus. Then people say, well, I'm under grace, I'm not under law, so I don't have to do anything. And by the way, you're right. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to read the Bible. You don't have to do anything. Matter of fact, the only thing you have to do is die. One day you're going to die. When I was a kid, we say, all I got to do is be black and die. So all y'all got to do is be white and die, whatever, Mexican and die, whatever you are, that's all you got to do. Or you have to be other and die, whatever it is you are. But if you don't do things, you don't reap the benefit of doing those things. If you don't pray, you don't reap the benefits of praying. If you don't read the Bible, you don't reap the benefits of reading the Bible. If you don't go to church, you don't reap the benefits. So you don't have to do it, but don't think God's going to bless you anyway, because He's not. In addition, Jesus taught that grace has a higher standard than the Old Testament law. In the Old Testament law, they said, don't murder. Jesus says, I'm taking it to another level. Don't even hate. Old Testament law says don't commit adultery. Jesus says, I'm taking it to another level. Don't even lust in your heart. So if you want to live under grace, understand that you're going to have a higher standard to live by. Okay? Letter E, it says non-tithers are tithe haters. People who are against tithing are usually the people who don't tithe. Okay? They don't understand the blessing of tithing. Letter F, tithing is a heart issue, not a money issue. We saw that your treasure is where your heart is. You put your money where your heart is. It's a heart issue. It has nothing to do with how much you have. It has to do with what you believe. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? And then it says, God gets paid first. You don't give God His money last. You give His money first, and you trust He'll take care of everything else. That's the trick. God set it up that way. Why? Because the Bible says it is impossible to please God except with faith. The just, the righteous, shall walk by faith. So by faith, we trust and obey God no matter what the circumstances say. Those are the people God honors. That's how God works, okay? So in our first sermon, we looked at the first sermon in the series was called Money Metaphor, because God teaches about money more than anything in the Bible, and He uses money as a metaphor for spiritual riches. He uses money as a metaphor for how much we trust Him. The second sermon, which was last week, we talked about money test, and money test was that God says, I'm going to give you money, and how you steward, manage your money is a test on where your heart is. It's a test on how much I can trust you. In other words, if you're faithful in little, I will entrust you with more. If you're not faithful in little, you're not going to be faithful in a lot, so I'm not going to give it to you. So people say, I don't have a lot, is because you haven't been faithful in little. And so it's a matter of money is a test. Today, we're going to talk about money as a multiplier, the money multiplier. That God, when you give God whatever you give, whether it be your money, whether it be your heart, whether it be your life, He takes it and He multiplies it. And by the way, I'm going to show you that multiplication. It's going to be right in your face. right in your face. All those people outside is a multiply. It's multiplying. It's okay. So in this story we're going to read, it is a very simple story where Jesus is talking to a crowd of 10, 15,000 people. The Bible is going to tell us it's 5,000 men, but each man represents a family. And his disciples are going to say, Jesus, you know, your sermon's going kind of long, and you need to wrap it up. The people are hungry. They need to go back. And Jesus says, well, if they're hungry, why don't you give them some food? And they go, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. We cannot feed 10, 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then Jesus says, tell them all to sit in groups of 50 and watch me do my multiplying. Jesus is funny to me. Sometimes funny, but I want you to imagine him saying, well, let's read the story. Look at verse 12. It says, when the day began to wear away, Luke 9:12, when the day began to wear away, the 12 came to him and said, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place. In other words, we need to send them away. And he said, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all these people, for there were about 5,000 men. Okay, how many loaves of bread did they have? Say 5. Oh! Oh, that scared me. Ooh, boy. I get scared easily. I think I had a bad childhood or something. I don't know. Did y'all see that fall? Did you hear it? Oh, yeah, I heard it. I thought someone was jumping on the thing and trying to get me. And y'all weren't going to say nothing. He was just going to kill me right here, and y'all were just going to let it happen. I'm trying to think where I was at. Huh? Okay, how many loaves did they have? How many fish? How many men? How many families? The same. How many families? How many disciples? How many lords and saviors? Very good. Okay, so here we are, and Jesus says, and they said, Jesus, these people are hungry, and he says, listen, we're going to feed them. We got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And look what it says. Look what it says in verse 14, for they were about 5,000 men. And then it says, then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. Groups of what? 50. Groups of what? 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke them, gave them to the disciples and set before the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets were left over. Leftover fragments were taken up by them. So here's all these thousands of people. And Jesus says, I want you to feed them. And they say, we don't have enough food. He says, have them sit down. Now imagine you're the disciple saying, man, we got 5 loaves. Okay, all y'all sit in a group of 50. We're going to feed y'all. Y'all ain't getting no food because it's going to run out long before we get in. Y'all sit down in a group of 50 because we're going to feed you. And you're way out in this big field telling people they're going to get food, and you know there's only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus standing here going, I can do anything I want. I multiply. He lifted up to the heavens and blessed it. And then he started giving it to them. And they're going out, giving this food to all these people, going, where is all this food coming from? Look at number one in your notes. Resources must be blessed before they are multiplied. Many people are saying, God, I wanted you to multiply my this, multiply my blessings, multiply my finances, give me a better job, whatever, whatever. Is it blessed? Turn to three books before, which is Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Malachi 3, verse 8. It says, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? And you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You haven't given them. And it says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, what does it mean by a curse? In the least, being cursed means there is an absence of being blessed. You don't have the blessing. In other words, you have money or things or friends or whatever, but you can't enjoy them. You don't enjoy them. Or you have money and it flies away. The Bible says riches fly away. They sprout wings like eagles and fly away. How many of you have ever said in your life at any point, where did my money go? It's just, you put it in the bank or whatever it is, and it just went, bye-bye, and it flew. And by the way, it went to somebody who's faithful. It's gone. Or you have it and you can't enjoy it. It's not blessed. It's not being multiplied. It's not bearing fruit 10, 50, 100 times over. It's just there. It says here, verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, in our case, the church, that there may be food in my house, and try me or test me or prove me, says the Lord. Everyone say, test me. It's the only place in the Bible God says to test them. Look what he says. Test me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there is not a room enough to receive it. In other words, if you do your part, I will bless you more than you can ever withhold. Now, does that mean if you give $100, you're going to get $1 million back? No, not necessarily. But it means this, that if you are faithful to God to give what already belongs to him, tithing is not giving, it's returning. It already belongs to him. And you give it to him, and what happens? You secure a blessing on the 90%, and you get this blessing that overflows. And why does it overflow? Because the blessing is not only in money. It's in joy. It's in satisfaction that God, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, to be godly and content. Imagine being content with what you have. Imagine having more opportunities to help people than you ever had. Imagine having more compassion for people than you ever had. Imagine having more contentment with who you are as a person than you ever had. Opportunities for employment. These are the blessings that God will overflow in your life. When you are faithful to do what God has called you to do. Or you can live your life walking uphill, going against the current every day because God is even resisting you. He's not helping you. Why? Because you're not blessed. Your finances aren't blessed. Your skills aren't blessed. Your mind is not blessed. By the way, some of y'all are in relationships or you've been in relationships. It was a struggle. I mean, sometimes when you're with people and when you're with the right person, conversation just flows. You know, you'll click, you'll have fun, blah, blah, blah. It's like effortless. And then other people, you're talking to them, it's like you're interrupting each other, you're not understanding each other, jokes aren't funny, it's like, this is not working. Y'all ever get that? It's like, and then you're sitting in your mind going, yo, but she's fine, but this just ain't working. Or the other way around, he's fine, whatever. And it's just not blessed. Does it mean they're bad? No. Does it mean God's against you? Not necessarily, it just means that ain't blessed. That's not blessed. Stop trying to force it. And sometimes your whole life can be like that. Jobs don't work out. You get paid, but then you get a bill, and then you can't. And God says, I want to bless all that. I want to change all that. I want to align everything up. That's blessed. But you have to do your part. And the Bible says you're robbing God. Why? Because you're holding onto something that belongs to him. Number two. It says resources must be given away before they are multiplied. Real simple concept. Hey, Jesus, we're going to feed all these people? Yeah. You got the bread? No, I'm not giving you the bread. Well, I can't multiply it then. Give me the bread. My bread. I just made this bread. I want to eat a ham sandwich. I can't bless it. Instead of saying, God, here's what already belongs to you. By faith, I'm giving it to you, even though I think I need it, and I'm trusting you're going to bless what I keep, and I'm going to get a return blessing on what I'm giving you. That's what tithing is about. And it comes from a heart that is gracious to God, in gratitude to God. But if you don't give it, it can't be multiplied. Now, I want to read something to you, because The whole purpose of giving to the church is so the church can do the ministry that God has called the church to do. And when you give to a church, and I'm going to talk about specifically this church, which is why the ministry fair is so critical today, is that your giving pays the lights, it pays the rent, pays the salaries, all that kind of stuff, but it also leverages all the fruit of those people out there. All those people out there are volunteers. And all those people out there represent about 2,000 volunteers a month, give or take, what them and their ministry partners. And those 2,000 people that represent out here, they minister to 19,000+ people per month in the community. Now, I want you to imagine, you can conduct church and never have any of that. You can conduct church, just have Sunday service and Sunday school class and all the stuff traditional churches have, and have none of that. And I'm going to tell you, 99% of churches don't have any of that, because that's not what they do. Your money's being leveraged to not only have all of this, but have that as well. And those people are reaching 19,000 people. That's just those ministries. Our small group ministries, our small groups around San Diego, they have done a ministry project last year, almost one a day, 300 of them in San Diego, service project. There's a whole other gang of people they're reaching, okay? And these are people whose lives have been changed. Now, I'm going to give you a few examples because I got some props up here on my surfboard. The reason my surfboard's up here is because we have a ministry, and there's 111. Are you on the surfboard ministry? They're teaching surfing to disabled kids. We have the Dove ministry. They collect bottles and cans, and they collected 290,000 pounds of bottles and cans, raised $160,000 to support kids in Africa from bottles and cans. Leverage. Your dollar not only paid to this, it also leveraged for this to happen, for those kids to be blessed. And those kids who get saved, they're going to bless somebody else. That's the overflow. And when you go to heaven, God somehow is going to bless us for all your faithfulness. How he does it, he'll take care of it. Then you have the military ministry. In 1 year, they led 1,312 people to the Lord at MCRD, the Marine base right here. 1,300 people in 1 year. Aha. See these little bags? This ministry puts these little bags together and their little care packages with deodorant, soap, shampoo, combs, shaving cream, razor. They give one of the groups, they give these to homeless. They made 5,400 of these. And you can help, amen, you can help by bringing in some of the stuff you take from the hotels, the little shampoos you take from the hotels, little soaps. I know. I have a whole box of that stuff, but or your old shampoos, that bring it over, and they put the shampoos and all the stuff in these little containers, and they give these away. 5,400 of these. You got them in your car, boom, you drive to the corner, someone's there asking for help, boom, there you go. Just like that. Nothing, costs nothing. Leverage. It's like how is $1 helping pay for all this kind of stuff? Then we have, did I do the dolls? We have these dolls. By the end of next week, the doll ministry would have given away 426 of these dolls to the police and the firemen, and when they take kids out of the home, they get a little doll, and the doll says, "Jesus loves you." Amen. Or it's the bomb. It's the bomb. It's the bomb. It's the bomb. I have in my hand a 10-week-old baby in the womb, but it's not in the womb. It's in my hand, and it's not real. It's fake. Silent Voices Ministries works with women who are contemplating abortion. They've saved 600 of these babies, are now living. Love Them Up Ministries has collected and given away 650 wheelchairs to people around the world who need wheelchairs. This is, lastly, Convalescent Ministry, and by the way, there's 111 of these outside. They all need volunteers, resources, etc. Convalescent Home Ministry, they take people to 54. They have 54 convalescent homes that they have access to. 12,000 elderly people in those convalescent homes. They need volunteers. They don't have enough volunteers to go do all that ministry. And they're going hard. They've been doing it for years. And so all these ministries out there are for you, and then some. Mexico ministry, I don't know if I did this, but they led 350 people to the Lord in Mexico last year. Amen. Amen. Say it again.
JC's girls
go to strip clubs. Amen. Go ahead, girls. Go ahead. Do your thing. One more. A few years ago, we started, well, I'm sorry. 1 year ago, we started thrift store. And a year or two before that, we started share ministry where they give away clothes for free. Well, we are in the process of establishing a partnership with the police department and the fire department. And actually, the partnership is done. We handed these out to all the police, every police officer in San Diego, 100%, got this voucher. And what this voucher says is that if you see a family or someone in need that can benefit from what we have, you sign on here, sign off on them, and you send them to us, and we'll give them whatever they need up to a certain limit for free based on what y'all give. It's in process today. Amen. The fire department has this, and there's a police officer lives on my street, and he gave these out to his officers, 25 officers, City Heights. He says, Miles, we go in houses and we see beds with no bedding on it every day. Roaches everywhere, 3 and 4 people live in a bed every day. He says, what is your vision? This is my neighbor. What is your vision for this? I says, you know what? I would love for your officers to send people and wipe us out and take everything we got. So I could say to y'all, we need more stuff, right? Because how many of y'all right now have shoes you can get rid of today? Very good. How many of you got clothes you can get rid of today? How many of you got some furniture, some TV or whatever you can get rid of today? Okay, so here's my challenge to you. Get rid of it today. Get rid of it. Bring it. No, for real though, bring it in. Any day during the week, go to the thrift store. Just bring it. Next Sunday's Easter. I would wait till the Sunday after that, because next week is going to be a madhouse. Bring it to church, and we have the launch pad right here in the parking lot. Every day in the parking lot, way in the back by the park, they collect three truckloads a week, two here and one at the place during the week, every week of stuff. Bring your stuff in. We got people. I'm praying that they come by the hundreds and get stuff so we can be a blessing. But that's, when we talk about multiplication, whatever you give gets leveraged. I'm guessing this. 1, 2, 3, 4, about 6 people on staff, I'm guessing, manage all of those people out there. 6. 6 or 7 staff people leverage all those volunteers, all those 19,000 people getting reached by 6 staff people. That's leverage. That's multiplication. That's what we're talking about. So, number 2 in your notes, what does it say? Number 2, resources must be given before they're multiplied. You're holding on to it, and you're saying, Lord, multiply, bless me. And God says, you got to give it to me first. How am I going to multiply something you're holding on to? How am I going to bless you if our hearts are in the same place? You have to do your part, then I do my part. That's what tithing is about. Number 3, and we'll end with this one. It says, resources are multiplied to the degree they are given. They are multiplied to the degree they are given. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, about 4 books. Let me see. 5 books back from where you are. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. It says, but this I say, this is Paul talking to a church in Corinth, and he's talking to them about giving. He says, but this I say, he who sows or gives sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully, everyone say bountifully, will also reap bountifully. You can't outgive God. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart. Say heart. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to have the band come out. We're going to take our offering. But here's the thing. You want to give because you appreciate what God has done in your life. You want to give because you are acknowledging God, thank you for what you've given me. You want to give because you are being obedient to God and you want to support his cause and you trust he's going to bless you accordingly. You want to give because it's a privilege. You get to give. You don't have to give. You don't want to give because you got an attitude. Don't do that. Don't do that. Give because you're saying thank you to God. So before we pray for offering, let me say this. One of you, some of you already do give. God bless you. Some of you in here, this is your first time you are going to start tithing. That's my prayer for you. And then there's some of you in here who you have a gift of giving. You just like to give extravagantly. Go for it. No, I'm real. People have that gift. I know people who give like 90% of their money away. They live on 10. And they love that. Go for it. Go for whatever it is that God's put on your heart. It's between you and God. We want to give you the encouragement and the permission to do it. But it's between you and God. Between you and God. The guy who wrote a book called The Blessed Life, and he has given away 9 cars. That's his thing. He likes to give away cars. And God always gives him another car. And I'm like, brother, I wanna flow like that. He was at a church one day and he said God told him to go home and wipe out all his savings in retirement. And I was like, brother, you got faith, and he did it. Now, that's extraordinary. Some people roll like that. If you roll like that, roll. For real, don't resist God because God has a blessing for you. Okay? So let's pray. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to pray. We're going to take the offering. After the offering, I'm going to dismiss you. So please don't walk out until I dismiss you. I appreciate that, so we don't have a lot of chaos. Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to give. We thank you so much for the opportunity to honor you. And Lord, I pray for the people who are going to start tithing today, even the people watching online, that by faith they're going to be obedient. And they're going to trust that you will honor them, because you will, because you are a man of your word. You're a God of your word. So I pray you multiply the offering to us and the blessing to them and the overflow to the community. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.